You're listening to Voice Actor Showcase, episode number 12. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Voice Actor Showcase, a podcast about voice actors and their stories. I'm Jiyoon Yoon. Now, stop by voicemodo.com/store to pick up a really cool, introverted but willing to discuss voice acting t-shirt for yourself or a fellow voice actor. Of course, the proceeds from the t-shirt sales will go to supporting the show as well as supporting the voice actors that come on this program. Connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Voice Actor Show. These episodes can also be found on YouTube, youtube.com/voicemodo. The Voice Actor Showcase is about the voice actors on their journey to realize the dream of becoming an established voice actor. We're interested in telling the stories of countless voice actors around the world who are working hard to make their dream a reality. Whether that means they arrived in Los Angeles on a Greyhound just last week, or have voiced three different characters for a Pixar film in a single session yesterday. Now, if you have an interesting story to tell, and you're finding that voiceover by itself is just not simply enough to fill your creative bucket, I'd love to have you on the show. Please contact us by visiting voiceactorshowcase.com. Today, we'll meet a voice actor from Austin, Texas. She's been in the performing arts ever since she was a little girl and has always held on to her dream. Boldly, she made her move out to Los Angeles to participate in a highly prestigious performing arts program and learned about voice acting during her time there. The rest, as they say, is history. Today, she is a co-owner of her own production company called Bite and Run Productions. She's an actor, voice actor, singer, and film producer, among other things, and she continuously strives to hone her craft in all of the above roles. Her voice can be heard in her latest upcoming audiobook, Lost in the City of At, scheduled to be released in the near future. Please welcome Izzy Tugman.
Lost in the City of At by Michael Bell, narrated by Isabella Tugman. Still shivering, David pointed to his sloping sandwich. It was a structure of piled-up layers that was about to collapse at any moment.
Your sandwich, young man, is pitching outrageously to one side like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. This tastes like puke!
I'm terribly sorry, sir. Cooking's not really my cup of tea.
Not his cup of tea!
exclaimed Momoji the parrot irritably from a distance.
Did you hear that, Ms. Laris? Not his cup of tea!
Here in the City of At, everything we do should be your cup of tea!
Screamed Ms. Laris, red-faced and flustered. We hope you have enjoyed this sample of Lost in the City of At. For more information, please visit izzyvoice.com.
Izzy Tugman, hello! Welcome to the show, how are you?
Good, how are you, June?
I'm really good, thank you very much. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, this is cool.
Now, we're going to start from the beginning. You currently live in Austin, Texas, but you're originally from Topeka, Kansas. Talk to us about your early days as a child. What kind of kid were you growing up? And tell us about your family and your performing arts experience and what life was like as a kid for Izzy.
I never say I'm from Kansas. That's kind of funny. I wasn't born there, but yeah, I definitely grew up there. And I was a nerd, dude. That's what kind of kid I was. I loved to learn. I always had my head in a book. I was always singing, playing lots of video games. I was attracted to storytelling very early on. My first words, my mom jokes about this, were not just one word like mama or daddy. It was, read me a book. That's what I said the first time. And I just love story. And I knew from, I can't even remember an earlier memory than wanting to be in the performing arts. My first idol was Carmen Miranda, and I dressed up as her, you know, with the fruit bowl on my head.
Nice.
And I just bumped into my stuff in my studio because I'm excited and gesticulating. I was the coolest kindergartner, for sure. Yeah, I come from a very musical family. My mom is a cellist. My dad plays all the horn instruments, like clarinet and saxophone and plays everything.
Wow.
So music was a daily part of my life, and I always sang. It just was something that was a big part of me. My mom used to joke that she could leave me in the bathtub as a little kid because they knew I'd be fine if I was singing. So, you know, as long as she's singing, she's good, right?
Yeah.
No, they're very responsible parents. Don't worry.
Of course, of course.
And then, you know, I just, because I was an avid reader, I would read all the industry books I could. I was like, yeah, I got to be a business person. And I was like really ready to have a career from a very young age. And I used to beg my parents. I was like, please take me to New York or LA for auditions. And they're like, no. So I was forced to do what I could with what I had. And that's not always a bad thing. And I really grew up doing a lot of community theater, which is amazing. I learned so much doing community theater and just being involved in choirs and shows and whatever I could.
Yeah.
And there's actually a really cool community in Topeka. And that was really, that's where I found my home. So even though Kansas didn't always feel like the place where I belonged, you know, I always felt a little other than, I found my home on the stage and in the theater. And behind the camera. I mean, I love a camera too.
I'm just in awe of the drive.
Dude, I'm crazy.
I mean, not many, you know, kids have that kind of drive. I mean, that's amazing.
That's just who I am. I'm just, I don't know. I always knew what I wanted and I wanted to go after it. And I'm just a really hard worker. I'm ambitious. I'm an overachiever and I'm a nerd, like I said. I like to learn, like to work, like to work hard.
Let's go back a little bit more as well. From your childhood, what's the most like memorable or the most impactful performance or role that made you go, oh, this is what I want to do?
I mean, like I said, I already knew. I already knew. I just, it got more reinforced. The more I learned, the more I did, the more it just was clear that there was nothing else I could possibly compel myself to do. Let's see, going back to the question, you said there was a role. Okay, so I didn't have one role that spoke to me, but I did have a role that was pivotal in my growth. And I guess that's kind of funny. You know, I was kind of an awkward kid and I had, you know, stumbled my way through social situations and had to find my way out of my shell. And
as we all do,
as we all do, you know, some more than others. But and I think when I was like 12 or 13, I was cast in a production of Moby Dick the musical. Super cheesy. And
nice.
I know, and I still remember this. I was cast as something unexpected, which was Queequeg the cannibal. And I still remember my introductory song line. It's like, I'm Queequeg tattooed male, a South Sea people eater. It's like, whoa. And I, you know, I'm kind of like the blonde soprano thing. I wasn't really the sassy, you know, belter type role. And you know, I was playing a cannibal. So I kind of asked my director, Joe, I was like, okay, you know, why did you cast me as this role? And she said, Izzy, you are going to be typecasted your entire career. And I know you are so much more than that. And I thank her for doing that, first of all, because she got me out of my shell. She pushed me hard. I mean, she was so hard on me. But I needed that. And
yeah.
I remember I kept apologizing every time she would give me a note. I would take it so personally because I wanted to be so good. You know, I wanted to please everybody and do a good job. And she said, Izzy, you are a strong, independent woman. You do not need to apologize for anything. And, you know, of course, when you need to apologize, you need to apologize. But I was saying sorry for the wrong things, you know, and I needed to learn that lesson. And that was important, too, to kind of like learn how to take a note. Don't take it personally. Do the work, you know. And and I really grew through that whole process. And then months later, after the show had ended, I think I was seeing another show at that theater. And this lady approached me and she said, hey, you know, were you Queequeg and Moby Dick the musical? And I said, yeah. And she said, you know, my 5-year-old daughter saw that show and she absolutely idolizes you from that show. And she would like dress up in her leopard print and have like this stick that she would use as a staff and she would dance around and sing. And I was like, you know what? That meant the world to me that I inspired somebody. And you know, you have these little girls looking up to Disney princesses and all those things. And I was that for this girl. And that was one of the most rewarding things.
What a story. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I guess I have another pivotal moment of like knowing this is for me. So growing up in Kansas, I'm sure I get a lot of Wizard of Oz jokes, as you may imagine. And no, I've never seen a tornado. I get that question a lot. but I did have a strong connection to Wizard of Oz. My grandma was named Dorothy, and we had like this whole thing about it. And then the musical Wicked came out. And Wicked just spoke to me. I mean, I just love it. I listened to that soundtrack every day in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Sung the entire thing. I have it memorized. I can sing all the parts. I love it. And it just, I don't know. It spoke to me. And then I finally got to see it in Chicago. And I just was bawling. And I was like, this is what I want to do with my life. So, yes. You know, playing Glinda has always been, or Ga Linda with a Ga, has always been my dream musical theater role. And I just love it. So
I can't watch Wicked anymore.
You can't? Why?
Uh-uh. I've seen it. No. I have the exact count. I've seen it 14 times. And at the end of Act 1, when she goes up in the curtains to the top of the stage.
Defying gravity.
You know, everybody's like, oh my gosh! And I'm like, oh, there she goes. Yeah, it's about, and boom! And then, oh, yep, there it is.
I just love it. I can't get enough of it. Like I said, I listened to it on repeat. I was obsessed. And I hate to sound cliche because it's become such a blockbuster musical, you know? Yeah. Of course, I like a lot of the more indie musicals and stuff, too. But, you know, it was personal for me. Girl from Kansas, Coloratura Soprano, I don't know, like all these things. Kristen Chenoweth is a big inspiration of mine.
Of course.
I've sung quite a few of her songs. And then, of course, I saw her at the Hollywood Bowl, and I was this close to, like, spending all my money and buying, like, the box tickets up front. And, of course, she calls somebody up on stage to sing For Good with her, and I'm a mile away in the cheap seats, and I'm like, no! Oh, God, it's like, stab me in the heart, why don't you? Oh, I would have killed for that. But anyway, it just wasn't my time. I'll have my time. It's okay. It's okay.
You have a BA in music, and you also studied vocal performance and opera in UMKC, University of Missouri, Kansas City. And then you made the move to Los Angeles to attend AMDA, American Musical and Dramatic Academy. That must have been a pretty scary decision. I mean, even though we see it in movies and hear it in stories, nobody just picks up and moves to LA, right? Tell us that story.
It was actually the most natural thing in the world for me because it had been such a long time coming. It's what I wanted since forever. And of course, you know, my parents were like, education's important. You got to finish high school. You got to go to college. And I wanted to go to college in LA or New York immediately. But I compromised with my parents and started in Kansas City, you know, go up a little bit, you know, bigger city, some good things. UMKC had a great vocal program. And I loved studying opera there, but I still felt that burning desire to do, you know, film production and act for camera and screen. And I just needed to. And I decided to kind of last minute audition for AMDA, and it just felt great. And I had a great audition. And 3 days later, they called me saying I was accepted. I had a talent scholarship, and I was just like, yes. And
nice.
Moving to LA just felt like going home. It felt like home just immediately. It was the first time that I felt like I was surrounded by people like me who were as dedicated and hardworking and talented and aspiring to things as I was. And there's a lot of BS too. And I tell people, anybody who lives in LA, like, get out every once in a while, get a reality check. There's a lot of crazy stuff in LA. But then you also have these really amazing people too who are doing the work and have the right attitude. It's not all the jaded failures, you know. But you get perspective too. There are a lot of talented, hardworking people who don't make it. And there is a lot of luck, and there is a lot of who you know and being in the right place at the right time. So you just got to trust the process and love the journey. You can't seek fame, guys. You know, that's the revolving door of people coming in and leaving.
Yep, yep.
It's not what you got to be there for. So
It's about being prepared at the right moment,
exactly.
Right? What is it that they say?
Yes, it's when opportunity meets preparation. Yeah,
that's
one of my favorite
yeah.
quotes, actually. It's true. Oof. Yeah, be prepared. You never know when you're going to get that shot. And if and when you do, you better be prepared.
Absolutely. Now, I know the listeners here have just heard the Wizard of Oz reference, and I'm sure you're going to suffer that for the rest of your life. I apologize
yeah.
for them. But I personally am drawing a different connection here. You're La La Land.
Am I La La Land?
You're La La Land. I mean, you came out to LA to be an actor.
Yeah.
Have you ever danced on a freeway overpass in one shot?
Oh, man, no, but hashtag goals. I mean, yeah. I'm going to work on that one, though. Don't worry.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent.
I'm going to work on it.
So you're in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
I've been there. It's fantastic. Good food, good music, lots of history,
yeah.
nature, and the people. Just awesome.
People are really
fun
great.
People.
Yeah.
So what led you to Austin away from LA?
Oh, man, that's actually kind of a long story. So I've actually lived in six states.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't immediately come to Austin directly from LA. I had some personal things that I went through, and I needed to leave LA for a little while and regroup and spend some time with family. So I actually spent some time in Kansas, and then life led me to New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
So I lived in New Jersey for a little while, and it was great to be close to New York City and all of that, which, you know, saw lots of Broadway shows and all of that. But I hate the cold. And my partner and I were sort of like, you know what? We're done with this. Let's move somewhere warm. Let's start producing some indie films that we've been, you know, talking about doing. And so we made the move.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, we're just like, how about Austin, right? We are kind of ready for a break from rude people and the crazy, you know, fast pace of life over there and whatever.
Right.
And Austin may be a little bit too slow of pace. I don't know. But like you said, the people are great. There's lots of funky stuff here. Food is good. Yeah. And so we just decided this would be our home base and we'll travel as needed, go to New York, go to LA, go wherever. But yeah, for now it's Austin.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of in the middle. It makes sense, I would imagine.
It's in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, just like a lot of us, you're not just a voice actor. You're mentioning, you're talking about film production and whatnot. You do a lot of stuff. You're an actor. You're a singer. You produce films and you own your own business. Talk to us about Bite and Run Productions. What is it? What is it that you do? And what's it all about?
Bite and Run Productions. It's my production company and my partners. I'm a co-partner. And right now we're producing a feature film, and I'm also producing an audiobook and more multimedia. So anything to tell impactful stories. We want to make an impact, social differences, whatever, but mostly tell good stories. We have a feature film in development right now.
Yeah.
And actually, it has some celebrity interest. So we may be going to LA to, you know, get this rolling and get it in pre-production soon, hopefully. It's called Decoding Norman. And it's on a very important topic that I share with my partner and I both care deeply about, which is domestic violence.
Ah.
And which is a major issue, and it's not talked about. It's very stigmatized. I think one in four women is statistic of women who will experience domestic violence in the household. There's also a bunch of men. And we had the Me Too movement in Hollywood, which was great to expose, you know, just how many women have experienced sexual harassment. But it was a lot about sexual harassment in the workplace, and we still haven't really moved inside the home and what happens behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And there's so many victims and so many people who are afraid to talk about what happens, and people don't realize how hard it is, you know, to get out of a situation like that. And it can be life or death, and it is. So that's an important topic I want to raise awareness for. So we're working on that. Very excited. We'll see how that goes. So you can stay tuned. Follow my website. I'll post updates and all of that as we have news to share.
Well, I most definitely will.
Cool.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It is important. Yeah.
It seems like you're also an advocate for women's rights and issues regarding the gender differences between in this world. I'm phrasing that terribly. I apologize.
But I know what you mean. Absolutely. Yes, I am an advocate for women's rights. I do consider myself a feminist, which I mean by equal rights, you know, equal opportunities and fair treatment. And we have a long way to go. I mean, there's a lot of we've come a long way, but unfortunately, there's still a long way to go. And I wish the world was better. You know, I guess I grew up as a little girl, you know, with big ambitions and whatever, and I still have those. But man, the way you're treated as a woman in this world, you've run into some stuff and just, you know, people need to be aware. We can do better.
I completely agree.
You know?
Absolutely agree.
Yeah.
And to further that message along, you were recently interviewed for Creating Better Female Characters about women in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Tell us about participating in that and what your contribution to that whole thing was.
So I am part of the Fab 50 women interviewed for creating better female characters. If you look at the history of female characters in movies, in books, I mean, it's across, you know, so many spans. The interpretation of women has been, and exposure of women has been very narrow. A lot of stereotypes, a lot of, you know, we often are the sexual object. And we may be sexual beings. It's nothing wrong to have sexuality as a woman. But, you know, we're more than that. We have a lot of, you know, we're just as colorful and diverse as men are. It's time to show what women can be and tell women's stories equally to men's stories. Men's stories are still important. I'm not denouncing those, but you know, hey, pay attention. We got some amazing women in this world. So this is a fabulous series of articles. It's not done yet. There's more being released. So far, there are three out as of the date of recording this. So check it out. I have links on my website again, isabellatugman.com, and you can follow along. We all have a lot to learn. It's been cool to hear from the other women and have our perspectives shared a little bit on how we can do better to write better female characters.
And what better way to promote that message forward by doing, right? Not only are you an actor, you're currently a full-time voice actor. And really the beginning of the voice acting career started when you were in L.A. Tell us about that story. How did you come across voice acting while you were there? And where did it lead you?
So at AMDA, which was an intensive performing arts program that kind of covered all your bases. So I was learning vocal performance for musical theater. I was doing opera stuff still, acting for stage and television, business of the entertainment industry and acting, and also speech, dialects, and voiceover.
Wow.
And voiceover had been on my radar for before, but I hadn't worked with mics so much. I'd mostly been in live performance.
Right.
And I just thought it was really cool. And it kind of, I enjoyed the class a lot. I saw how my teacher was working and I listened to her demo reel and we were all like, whoa, that's you. You know, you can do all these different sounds. And I already knew I could because of my vocal training. I've always made weird cartoon voices and stuff. but then I was like, yeah, okay, this sounds like a nice addition to my other projects, you know, something I can do at home on my time. And it's just another element. And I also had a good friend who was making a living doing voiceover as well. So I got to see that and go, wow, you can have your home studio. It's not as expensive anymore to get it going with the equipment. And it's something that I put on my radar.
Nice.
And then about 5 years ago, I decided to start pursuing it more full time. I invested in some equipment and I decided to take it slow, be a fly on the wall, learn as much as I could. I know not to make a bad first impression. You don't want to look like, you know, an unprofessional newbie who doesn't know what they're doing.
Right.
So I had a lot of performance training already, which is great. That helps a lot. Same with my vocal training. But I really needed to learn the audio engineering because I didn't have exposure to that. So I spent some time taking some workshops, making sure I could produce a quality audio file and know all the terminology. And my booth, I consulted an engineer to help work on my sound booth because there's so many elements. And that was a little intimidating at first. But I learned about the industry as much as I could. And then I just started booking clients. And
Wow. There's
a lot more. I have plans to scale up, but I've been busy working. So
wow.
There you go. You know, it's just, yeah, I let it be organic to some degree. And I know it takes time. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Right.
You can't, you know, have whatever expectations. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far. I love it.
It's a really drastic difference hearing about your experience from some of the other people that I've interviewed so far, where you took these really careful, researched, measured. It's probably because you come from the performing arts background. But before you start jumping into stuff, you did your research.
I did.
You found out what you were supposed to do in terms of audio and gear and approaching people with your voice.
I probably spent too much time preparing. My problem is I'm a perfectionist. You know, I'm the overachiever. I want to do everything the best, you know, from the start. And so I'll suffer from perfectionism paralysis. And sometimes Now my motto has to be progress, not perfection, because otherwise, you know, you never reach perfection. There's always more you can do. And I would hold myself back when I was already miles above a lot of people working. I wasn't even putting myself out there yet just because I was like, no, it can be better. So now I'm like, you know what? Yeah, okay, I need, you know, I can make my website look prettier and I'm working on a new logo and yeah, I can do that. But it's like, you know, just start already. You're good enough to start. So, and I really listened. I tried to be really realistic about myself and my sound quality and my talent and my reads and, you know, just go. That's me. Not everybody. Some people should wait, because I do hear a lot of amateur sounding stuff out there. People trying to get jobs going, hey, dude, you know, take a step back. Learn your craft. You know, you're just going to create a bad first impression and you don't want that. So, but yeah, I mean, there's two types of people. You got to be in the middle, you know, just don't be paralyzed by your perfectionism, but make sure you get some training too. Know the industry. Yeah.
Any stories about booking work? Any memorable projects that you might be particularly proud of, or a funny story about booking, perhaps?
Well,
that means there's one.
Well, there's always more than one, of course, and I'm sure I have tons of stories. But the only one that's coming to mind right now, which is kind of funny, is you know, people get to know you as a certain persona, right? You know, I'm a multi-hyphenate. I'm a film producer. I'm an actor, voice actor, singer. And, you know, I was a co-producer on one film, I'd Kill For You. And I think, you know, I knew the writer and the director, and I was there with them the whole process of making this film and as they rewrote the script. And then we put it on Kickstarter and I helped them run their campaign and did a lot of social media marketing. And I think they really got to know me as Izzy the producer.
Yeah.
And that they forgot that I was Izzy the actor, you know, and a lot of people don't know that. And the thing about LA is there's a lot of people who talk the talk but don't walk the walk. So it's kind of frustrating when you're serious and then people are like, oh, you can really sing, or oh, you can actually act. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I get it. You know, until people see you do it, they're not going to believe you. You need to show what you can do. So they were casting for this film, and the lead role is like a femme fatale thing, which I thought was super rad. And I was like, oh, I'd love to do this role. And the director, Monica, came in and she was like super in love with somebody that they had auditioned that day for that role. And I was like, dang, you know, she's already basically cast this in her head. I'm like, I have no chance. But I kind of like, okay, I was like, okay, let me work up the courage and be like, hey, you guys, I'm an actor. Hey, can I audition? And they're like, oh, yeah, okay, sure. And I auditioned with her. She did some directing. We played around a little bit. And she's like, she looked at me different. She's like, Izzy, you know, like, oh, it was that, oh, you can act look.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And I knew she was already really excited about this other actress. So I didn't have a chance at the lead. But they actually threw out another person they'd cast in a small comedic role, and they put me in that. And so that was cool that I got to be involved in some capacity as an actor in addition to producing. And of course, the day comes to shoot my scene, though, and they're like, oh, Izzy, we had to fire your scene partner and we're throwing out the script. So you're going to be improvising this.
Oh.
And you have two takes because we're in a rush. So I was like, oh, God. So it was a little crazy. But I do appreciate the experience. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, you never know, guys. You never know. But yeah, it's funny how people get to know you as a certain thing. And you're like, I am not just that. But anyway.
I think there's a lesson to be learned in that story. It's to say yes to things.
Say yes. Put yourself out there. It doesn't hurt to ask. The worst they can say is no. And you'll get a lot of no's. I mean, that's part of the industry, too. And I think a lot of people are afraid of rejection, but you can't be. I think it's like, what, for every 99 no's, you get one yes. So you got to just keep trying. You never know.
Yep.
But you got to be real. You can't just hound people all the time either. You got to prove yourself and be working. You have to have something to show. Unfortunately, it's a catch-22 business.
Yep.
Got to do the work, you know, do the work.
Yep.
Create the work. If there's no work, if nobody's giving you the job, create the job. Do something.
Now, speaking of business, were you ever a part-time voice actor? And if so, what kinds of survival jobs did you have to endure?
You know, my time in LA, I mostly was focusing on my education, and I worked at the Pantages Theater, which was really cool. That was really my only like job. I also did some interning at like a recording studio and stuff. But yeah, the only like job I had was the Pantages Theater, which was great because I got to see musicals all the time. And then when I transitioned to New Jersey, I decided to finish my degree. I actually only had a few credits left. So I took some school online. I worked at Whole Foods. Woo!
Nice.
And yeah. And then I got injured and had some other things. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to focus on some other stuff. And I just started taking the slow road to voiceover while working on my partner's business as well, doing, you know, anything that needed to be done, glorified personal assistant work, marketing, business analytics or advisory.
Wow.
Or all kinds of stuff. Made some money doing marketing and promotion stuff. I have a bunch of skills because I'm an entrepreneur and I'm always learning. I like to learn. I like to work. And so I use those skills whenever I need to, however I need to. And then just took my time working on voiceover. So I had some small clients initially. I told you I was being too much of a perfectionist in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I didn't put myself out there initially very soon. And then finally I was like, you know what? Just put yourself out there. Put yourself on all the sites. Get your website up. Do all the stuff. Doesn't have to be perfect. And I started booking work. Just right off the bat. I wasn't expecting that. Don't expect that. That's not usual. But yeah, I used my marketing skills and I recorded a bunch of samples, and I listened to audio every day, voiceover every day. I listened to audiobooks. I listened to podcasts. I listened to cartoons or promos or whatever it is, you know, listen to it every day. Listen to yourself, get some samples that, you know, follow those things. And that's what I did.
I'm honestly a little inspired, actually, and a little more motivated than I was 20 minutes ago.
Well, cool.
Wow.
Good. I hope so. I hope I can make an impact. You never know, you know?
The drive is amazing. I hope everybody listening...
Just crazy, dude.
...takes a good long listen and a good impression from Izzy, because this lady, because you went out and did it, whatever it was...
I don't give up. You know what it is? I'm persistent. It's not that I haven't had obstacles. I've had a lot of crazy bad luck, but I've also had good luck. And it's not about luck, though. It's also about hard work and persistence. If you're willing to do the long game and keep your expectations real, you know, you're not going to be making $1 million in the first year. You know what I mean? Or even close to that. You may not be making a living in the first year. I think I've heard some people say it can take 5 years, you know, to start getting a regular client base and regular auditions. And I don't know. I mean, the timeline's different for everyone. You can't be on a specific timeline.
Yeah, absolutely right.
It's going to play out the way it's meant to play out, but it's not going to do it for you. You got to work for it.
Absolutely right. I know other voice actors that started nearly the same time as me that are on like rosters of Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other voice actors that are still trouble booking. At the same time that I started about 3.5 years ago.
There's no rule. You can't
Absolutely.
Have expectations. I saw a really great article the other day about honoring your time. And it was, I wish I could remember her name. She's on The Handmaid's Tale, the really mean matron lady. She's fabulous. But she was talking about her journey because she's been an actor for a long time. And of course, you see your peers, like somebody gets famous or like books your dream role or something, and you're like, oh man, why is that not me? And you can't compare. And then, you know, it just wasn't her time. And now look at her. She's like winning Emmys and doing
right.
fabulous work on this excellent show. You can't judge your process. And if you really want it, you know, just stay persistent, find a way. But there's also like, I think people have ideas about what this is, and it's not as easy as you think. And if there's something else you maybe want to do, you probably should do that because it's not for everyone. You know, it takes a certain type of person.
Yeah, I think discouraging any type of acting, unless, I'm not going to go there.
Your soul's got to need it, you know, and you got to be real.
There you go. That's
you know,
the
it's,
one.
It's like breathing, you know? I have to do it, but I'm also realistic about it. You know, I don't have any illusions about what this industry is, you know?
Now, let's talk about your work. Currently, you're working on an audiobook called Lost in the City of At. Tell us
yeah.
about that.
Lost in the City of At. This is a really special project. It's it's sort of an Alice in Wonderland meets September 11th sort of story, which is really heartwarming. It's suitable for all ages, I'd say, kind of young adult, teen, even middle schoolers can read this book. But it spoke to me on a level because it's about a girl, you know, dealing with the trauma of 9/11. And her father is lost, and she goes, she manipulates time and fate, or attempts to at least, and ends up down a rabbit hole in this crazy virtual world. And she comes across a lot of really kooky characters, and it's very cartoony. I'm doing a lot of voices, and I'm having fun with it. So I'm really excited. I'm almost finished. We're going to wrap it up and get it out there pretty soon. The ebook is already on pre-sale on Amazon, and the audiobook and paperback will be coming soon. So stay tuned for updates on my websites. I have multiple websites. I have izzyvoice.com and isabellatugman.com. There's also lostinthecityofat.com and biteandrun.com. So that's too many websites, I know. so stay tuned.
What's the difference between the Izzy Voice and Izzy Tugman?
Or Isabella Tugman. I was trying to think about my branding strategy, right?
Right.
And actor, singer, producer was kind of like my main thing for a long time. And I already had that website. And then I decided to really push voiceover. Now, the problem with voiceover is it can really be a faceless craft because people can typecast you thinking, oh, you don't look like that voice. But if you have a lot of range, or maybe you don't sound the way that you look, it can hold you back. So I kind of go back and forth going, it's nice to put a face to it because people like to know they're dealing with a real person. But then at the same time, you don't want people to judge you on your look because you look too young or too old or too whatever.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, I'm going to create my own website strictly for voiceover. And I have some voiceover stuff on my isabellatugman.com as well. But yeah, I have my own site for voiceover specifically because that's my main focus at the moment before my other projects as I switch gears and work on those a little bit more. But this is always going to be on the background. I'm always going to take voiceover work whenever I can. I love it.
How do you balance all of this?
I don't have a life. No, I'm just kidding. I do have a life. I don't know. I'm structured. I'm motivated. I do something every day, even if it's a small thing.
Yeah.
I just do something every day. That's it. And I love doing it. I guess that's the thing. I love to work. And so I'm not like, I have to work. I'm like, okay, I get to work today. You know, I don't know. No, just do something every day. I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm tired. I need sleep. I you know, take vacations. I like to travel. I like to do other things. But yeah, I just like to work and I do something every
nerd.
Day. Nerd. I told you. I prefaced with this. I told you I was a nerd. I'm not trying to hide that.
Now, I visited your LinkedIn page, and it says you know 5 languages, English, French, German, Italian, and Spanish. Talk to me about that.
Okay, so I don't claim to be fluent in any second language. I mean, I've just always loved language. And obviously, being on the opera singer track, the operatic languages are French, Italian, German, and English.
There you go.
So you have to study those languages when you're singing opera. So it was part of my curriculum at UMKC. I had to learn pronunciation for each of those. I had to learn IPA, the International Phonetic Alphabet. And I love that stuff. Dude, I'm such a nerd. I love language. I love all this stuff. And then moving to LA, you know, you're surrounded by a lot of Spanish. And I found that I could pick it up pretty easy because of my training. I took French for 4 years in high school, got really good at it. I took German in college. And, you know, a lot of the romantic languages, they share the same roots. And
yeah,
Spanish was fairly easy by comparison. And I started studying that. And recently I did the whole Duolingo thing with Italian. My boyfriend grew up in Italy, so I got to visit Italy for the first time in October.
Wow.
Super cool. And I was able to understand a lot of it and converse a little bit, but mostly the pronunciation. I'm good at pronouncing it, and I think it comes in handy. Languages are always beneficial, you know, just because we live in this world of all, you know, all kinds of people and all kinds of languages and cultures. And there's a lot of musicality to languages. That's another reason it appeals to me. So I think it's just something in my toolbox. I can, you know, hear different lilts and sounds. And if I come across a phrase in a book that I'm reading, you know, you do quite a lot. You come across phrases in another language and I know how to pronounce it. I know what it means, you know?
Yeah.
So that's valuable. But I'm not going to be booking any bilingual work. I'm certainly not qualified for that. You need to really be a native bilingual person to do that kind of stuff.
I think that's really helpful. Yeah. Especially for the beginners. And there's a lot of beginning voice actors that are listening to this podcast. And on top of the common misconception about voice work, about making funny voices on TV or whatever it may be. While that's certainly a valid and very useful tool in your toolbox.
But not for most things.
Yeah.
The
thing that sells is your natural voice.
Yeah. Because a lot of people have the dream of doing animation, of doing video games, which is awesome. I love doing that stuff too. But, you know, there's also medical narration, you know, or e-learning and some stuff that, you know, can be very lucrative, but maybe isn't as sexy or exciting as some of the voices. And it's not really always about the voice. I think it's more about being able to connect and finding the truth of the character. Mm-hmm. And that's where acting comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can make a funny voice all you want, but if you can't connect to the text and to the audience, you're not going to be successful. I don't care how good at that voice you are. You need to be able to connect. So get acting training. You know, that's what it's about. And connecting is across the board. Even if you are doing medical narration, you need to keep people engaged and listening to what you have to say.
Yeah, it's more than just reading the words on a page, right?
It's absolutely so much more than that, guys. Yeah. Gosh, I hope I'm being helpful. Oh my God, I hope I don't sound like a know-it-all or something. I don't know it all. I'm always learning. That's the other thing. Stay humble, dudes. You never know everything. There's always more to learn, so.
I disagree.
What?
Nerd.
Oh, come on. Shh. No, I'm always learning.
I think it's great to do research and to find out as much as possible before you pull the trigger on something, like gear. Now, these are questions I ask everybody. What did you start out with in terms of microphone, recording space, so on and so forth? And what are you using now?
I still have the same setup I started with.
Of course you do.
Of course I do. It's you know, there's still more room to grow, of course. I have the Rode NT2. Which is a pretty good mic, you know. It's good to start off with. It's kind of like, you know, what, $300 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the cheapest mic on the market, but it sounds good. I actually went to B&H in New York City, and I went into their microphone room, and I tested a bunch of their mics.
Yeah.
And I listened to what my voice sounds good on. Now, of course, a lot of things affect that sound, like your recording space and whatever. So it's not a perfect test, but I really like this mic, and it has a good track record. Of course, I'd love to upgrade at some point to like the Neumann TLM-103 or something, but it's like $1,000. So I don't know. And I have the Scarlett Focusrite 2i2, which is perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really mostly about treating your space.
Thank
you. Know?
You. Mm-hmm.
You can have a super expensive mic, but if you put it in a crap space, it's going to sound like crap.
Yep.
And, you know, actually, it's going to pick up even more of those sounds. You're going to have even more issues with an expensive mic. So, yeah, treating your booth is really important. So, like I said, I consulted an audio engineer to make sure my booth was up to par, and I learned my editing and processing and all of that to make sure I can deliver a good sound. So, yeah, Rode NT2. I will upgrade at some point. I'm also looking at the Studio Bricks.
Yeah.
Because even though my booth is treated, it's not soundproof. And, man, those leaf blowers are annoying. right now it's fine. It's the winter. But, man, the summer. I don't want to work around their schedule. You know, I want to work all the time. So yeah, I'm looking to invest in a booth, and I really like the Studio Bricks, but they're really expensive.
Oh, yeah. Studio Bricks, the VO edition.
So nice. Mm. Yeah, I saw it when I was in New York City. I was like, oh, yes, please. So we'll see. That's kind of my next purchase. Even before an expensive mic, I'd rather have the booth.
Now, it's been a long day.
Mm.
You've, you know, directed, and you came home and read 3 different copies, and
mm-hmm.
you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So you head out to a bar and sit down with your friend and you say to the bartender what?
Margarita.
Nice.
Maybe a jalapeno margarita.
Ooh.
Yeah, I like a little spice. I like spicy food. Yeah, margarita. Refreshing, classic, delicious.
Oh, yeah, I can respect that.
Can't go wrong. Well, that's not true. I don't like the mixed margarita. I like the fresh, real margarita. You know, get me some lime and some agave and the real deal. None of that mixed stuff.
In the past few years you've been working as a voice actor, what have you learned about yourself?
Don't get in the way of yourself. Like I said, progress, not perfection. This is my mantra. I don't know. I've learned a ton. I just listen every day. That's the thing. I listen to a lot of great podcasts. I love the VO School podcast by Jamie Muffett is the host of that one. And I love, I listen to all of Rob Paulson's
podcast. It'd be crazy
amazing,
not to.
Of course. And yeah, he's crazy, but he's fabulous, of course. Pinky in the Brain. Oh, love it. there's a lot of great stuff out there. So just keep listening.
What are some goals for 2020? Personal as well as professional.
Goals. You know, work on chiseling these rock hard abs of mine, getting a tan. I'm just
nice.
Kidding. No.
Yeah. Oh.
No. Be healthy, of course. Mm. Stay grounded. Those are my personal goals, I guess. I love to travel, you know. So I'll be doing some of that as always. And professionally, I'm just scaling. Getting a new logo. I have a lot of like to-dos on my list that I just haven't done yet because I've been working, which is good. I mean, as long as I'm working.
Oh, yeah. Can't complain about that. Yeah.
Can't complain about that. But yeah, I have a lot of connecting I'd like to do and work with my website, you know, improving my studio, improving my demos. There's always stuff.
It sounds like a lot, but I'm sure you have it measured out and planned out.
It takes time, all in good time. You know, I guess the other thing I'm trying to do is just trust the process. Mm. It's easy to be frustrated with where you are and feel like you're not far enough. You want to be farther along. And it's just, you got to trust the process, trust the time, do the work, trust the work. And that's it. Because, yeah, I like to get ahead of myself and frustrate myself. And then I waste time doing that. And that's not helpful.
And I wish you success. Because you're a really cool person. I dig you.
Well, thanks. And
lots of success for you. That'd be awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And to you as well.
Thank you very much. So what's next?
What's next? Well, I kind of already talked about what's next. I have this audiobook coming out soon, Lost in the City of At. Stay tuned. I'm in talks with some other authors. I've been getting a lot of audiobook offers lately, so we'll see.
And if they want to find you, where do they go to find you?
Izzyvoice.com is my voiceover website. IsabellaTugman.com is my actor, singer, producer website.
Ooh-hoo.
And I'm all over social media. You'll find me. If you go to my websites, I'm there. So Izzy Voiceover is my handle for my voiceover stuff. And I have two handles. I have three handles. I'm at Izzy Tug and I'm at Isabella Tugman. So one is personal, one is professional, one is voiceover. And I don't keep up with all of them all the time. But yeah, at Izzy Voiceover and IzzyVoice.com.
Fantastic. Everybody, please make sure to go send her a DM, tweet at her, visit her website. That'd be really awesome. Izzy, thank you very much for spending this afternoon here with me. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks, June. This was a blast. I really appreciate it. I love what you're doing here. Can't wait for the new episodes.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
This has been Voice Actor Showcase. Visit our website at voiceactorshowcase.com. If you'd like to be featured on this podcast, contact us at voiceactorshowcase.com. Thanks for listening.